All right, Marty Lurie here, back here in the bunker. Mark Topkin joins us. Mark, I've seen him for years when the Rays used to come in on the other side of the bay, but he's a beat writer for the Tampa Bay Rays and, of course, with the Tampa Bay Times. Mark, great to have you here today.
Great to be here and see what the bunker's all about.
Yeah, well, you got to hear the professor. You got a few minutes of Ron Wotus there. What'd you think?
Very impressive, and I think, you know, his name's come up a couple times over the years in managerial openings and things like that, and just the presence he had, I could see where he'd be a natural fit for some of those possibilities.
Well, the Rays are here. Very exciting to see what's going on with them, cheering those pitches today, and we don't know anything about them. We're getting to learn about Kiermaier and Choi and Diaz and people like that, and Tommy Pham, who you can't keep off the bases. But what about the pitcher today, Chirinos? What should we expect?
Well, first of all, we think he's pitching. Yesterday was a little bit of a changeup from the manager there. They used this opener, as has been talked about, and I know it's Jeff Samardzija's personal favorite thing in all of baseball. And when they do it, they kind of have the guy who comes in next. They call it the bulk guy. I know Susan Slusser from the Chronicle, when the A's do it, she's been trying to call him the Bridger. We're not sure exactly what to call this guy, but who comes in next. But they're kind of on a regular five-day schedule. Yeah. So yesterday was Chirinos' day.
Yeah.
They made the switch to go with the lefty, so he bumps back a day. This is exactly what happened the first time through the rotation. He was supposed to pitch behind the opener. They let him start. Last Sunday, seven really good innings against the Houston Astros and beat them. So I think it was kind of circumstantial, but maybe this was by design all along because he pitched so well last week. But when he's pitching well, Marty, the sinker is going to be what gets people out. I mean, fastball's good. He'll spin it a little bit. But when that sinker is kind of diving, that's his out pitch, and that's what the Giants are going to see a lot of today.
Well, we're getting a good look of Kiermaier, Choi, who just crushed the ball, and Diaz, who also hit a big home run. We're getting a good look at the Rays and Tommy Pham, who has gotten on base 41 straight games. So Rays are good.
Yeah, it's an interesting mix. And you know, you scroll it back to the offseason before 2018, and obviously the trade of Evan Longoria here to the Giants was the first of a series of moves where they really tore up that whole team. They got rid of six or seven of their veteran guys. Got off to a horrible start last year and then end up winning 90 games, one of the surprise and success stories in all of baseball. So then they kind of built off that. A key to that last year was bringing up a lot of these young players that they have. Then they made a few more moves this offseason. Yandy Diaz, the one you mentioned, really interesting because Jake Bowers looked like a guy was going to be one of their foundation pieces at first base. They'd gotten him from the Padres in the Will Myers deal. And then really a surprising move at the winter meetings because not only did the Rays trade Jake Bowers, who we thought was a cornerstone guy, they put $5 million in the deal to get Yandy Diaz. And you have to understand, they only have two players making more than $5 million. So for them to do that really spoke to how much they wanted this guy. Hits the ball as hard as anyone in baseball, but doesn't usually get it in the air. He's had two homers already, career high.
Well, from Cuba.
From Cuba and was with the Indians. That's where they got him from.
Wow, Yandy Diaz. Yeah, I think it's an amazing team to watch. You know, it's something funny about baseball. If the Rays would have won 89 games last year, it would have been different. But to say 90 games, doesn't it sound different?
It's one of those numbers. The same with, you know, a pitcher winning 19 rather than 20. Or a guy hitting 299.9876.
I mean, isn't that funny?
Okay, we can round. But, yeah, it is. 90 wins, for some reason, it just resonates. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, when you say 90, they go, wow, 90. If you said 89, I'd say, all right, well, they won 89. All right. What's it like chasing the big boys in the East?
It's interesting. And yeah, really, the first 10 years or so of the franchise, they totally had the woe is me attitude. I mean, you know, first starting with Larry Rothschild, Hal McCray, and then Lou Piniella came in, and you know, there's a lot of great things about Lou, but he does not suffer losing and does not tolerate losing, and he would constantly harp on, we don't have enough money, we don't spend enough money, we're never going to do this. When Joe Madden came in, the new ownership came in that hired Joe Madden, they flipped that script, and they took it as, this is a challenge and we're going to see if we can do it, and made it, you know, like a positive rather than a negative. And obviously they did, winning the AL East twice, making the playoffs four times in 6 years. So they know they're chasing them. This year, the financial comparison is stark because the Rays payroll lowest in the majors, $52 million. Yankees and Red Sox, $200 or so, you know, give or take a few million, whatever. But and they do it with young talent. They do it with guys that don't make a ton of money. They do it by constantly churning their roster. They do it by matching up, and one of their basic tenets, and I know, you know, Farhan coming in here, a lot of these things are very common with a lot of teams now, but, you know, two guys making $560,000 who platoon at a spot in the Rays' mind is a heck of a lot better than one guy making $15 million playing at that spot. So they piece it together. And they've got a roster right now, Marty, I know we were talking about it before, where you know they've got all these guys that play all these different positions. The infielders can play. You know, they've got like four guys when they're healthy. Matt Duffy, one of them, who I know you're going to talk to later, that these guys can play short, third, or second. They've got guys that can play any spot in the outfield. They've got a couple guys that can go infield, outfield, and do it during the course of a game. So it really gives Kevin Cash a tremendous amount of flexibility as he manages against, you know, really any team powerhouse or more of a scrappy team.
Well, you put this team in New York or L.A. or Chicago, the baseball world would be gaga. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, and, you know, they don't get a lot of attention. They don't draw a lot of fans. And you know, it's been interesting in the years when they made the playoffs, it was like, wow, where did these guys come from? And you know how it is. When you cover a team all year, you're like, why is this a surprise? How did people not know Kevin Kiermaier was good or Evan Longoria was good and, you know, things like that. But, you know, it's a process, and these guys do have the opportunity to make a name for themselves.
Well, Mark Topkin with us. Great to have you here. I know you got to get to work. We'll take another minute or two with you. But they've given up less than 20 runs this year. They have the lowest earned run average in baseball, and they just made the first two errors of the season on Friday, and I think they made one yesterday on the throw to center field. How about that?
That's a really the, you know, if you were going to boil the philosophy of the Rays on field down and took all the analytical stuff out of it, it's as old school as you can get, pitching and defense.
Yeah.
And that's what they stress. And all the analytics that they do and the opener and all this other stuff adds layers and layers and layers. But really, strip it down, and that's what works for them. And the pitching has been tremendous. They get there a little different way, you know, how they use the guys, but they have a tremendous staff. They have a great mix. There's a lot of different looks in the bullpen. There's some power arms. You guys have seen a couple of them already. I mean, Alvarado, you know, to end the game the other day, I mean, went over and talked to Evan after the game, and he's like, I've watched him pitch from playing third base when he pitches, but being in the batter's box, you know, it was something different. And I think, you know, the sense that they can do this in a bunch of different ways and still have the arms to beat them. And then the defense, they stress all the time.
Yeah, 98 on the corner is what he said. How am I going to hit that?
Exactly.
That's what he said.
And with some sink.
Yeah, wow. Hey, the dome, the ceiling is blue lights. It looks like a nightclub, but they haven't put it in play yet.
Club Ray. Club Ray,
is that what they're calling it?
No, it's an interesting idea, and it's hard, you know, without the visual here, and radio is... You know, it's got this kind of white roof. It's not canvas, but it looks like canvas. And it's, as Kevin Kiermaier put it so adroitly the other day, it's hard to catch a dirty white baseball against a dirty white roof.
Okay.
So their thought was, since Charlie Finley tried it and it didn't work, of changing the color of the baseball, change the color of the roof, try to create some contrast. So they're playing with it. They bought this new lighting system that allows the lights to shoot up as well as down.
Okay.
So that's where the genesis of this came from. They light the roof orange for wins. They started playing with red, white, and blue rings of light for the anthem, and they thought, what if we made it blue? They haven't quite got it yet, though. It's either if they darken it to get the contrast, it makes the playing surface feel too dark.
Okay.
And if they have it too light, then they don't get the contrast. The players were saying they lost the ball. They've tested it a few times, but the owner thinks they're going to have it figured out by the end of the year. And when he said that, the two team presidents both nodded their heads, so I assume that means they will.
I love it. Hey, great to have you with us, Mark. Thanks for taking the time. We'll call you during the season. I love the story, and you cover it for many, many, many years. You do it so well. I appreciate you being on.
No problem. My privilege to come down and to talk with you for a few minutes.
Very good. That's Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times. All right. All right. More coming up. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, Allie, Carmen, and I are going to go down and meet Adam at the Public House, and we'll have our greatest game in Giants franchise history right after the break. More coming up.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Hey, Giants fans, looking for that perfect vacation home or just looking to downsize? For everything you need to know about buying, selling, or moving, text Giants to 81035. For information on